March the 10th, 1521.
Hey, Doctor. There's news. He did it 4 days ago. March the 6th, he did it.
Who did what?
His Imperial Majesty, Charles the 5th, Holy Roman Emperor. He's done it. It's in this letter, just arrived from Worms.
No Imperial seal. No signature, no herald. This is no official summons. It's mere rumor.
But it must be true. It is dated March the 6th, 1521. See there, from Worms.
Luther scans the letter. If the rumor is true, then what Luther has most feared and most hoped has finally happened. He's about to be called to defend himself before the emperor at the Diet of Worms.
Honorable, dear and devoted Martin Luther, ourself and the states of the Holy Roman Empire, assembled at Worms, having resolved to demand an explanation from you on the subject of your doctrines and your books, we forward you safe conduct to ensure your personal immunity from danger. We would have you immediately set forth on your journey hither, so that within 20 days of the receipt of our mandate, you may appear before us and the states. You have neither violence nor snares to fear. Relying upon our imperial word, we expect your obedience to our earnest wishes.
The summer of 1518, just 3 years previously. Angered by Luther's criticism of indulgences, Pope Leo had initially ordered him to appear before him in Rome, where he would be tried for heresy. Convinced it would not end well, his protector Frederick persuaded Luther to decline. Rome had then arranged for Luther to appear before a papal representative closer to home in the German town of Augsburg. His friends advised him not to go without the promise of safe conduct, a promise which Frederick had managed to obtain. Awaiting Luther in Augsburg was Cardinal Cajetan. Italian-born, Cajetan was a Dominican cardinal and papal legate. A highly esteemed theologian, he held a high view of the Pope's authority.
His Holiness errs and abuses Scripture. I deny that the Pope is above Scripture. Show me from Scripture where I am wrong.
Speak only when you have this word to say. Revoco.
But Luther was not ready to revoke anything. During a brief adjournment, Johann von Staupitz, his friend and the Vicar General of the Augustinian Order, pulled Luther aside.
Martin, the Cardinal is provoked. You must flee Augsburg with all speed.
Cajetan is as suited to handle my case as a donkey is to play the harp.
He is the Pope's legate in Germany, Martin. And he was tasked by the Pope to hear you revoke what you have taught, not to debate with you.
Staupitz had been in earnest. He feared for Luther's life. But perhaps there was another way.
Kneel, Martin Luther. I release you from all of your vows. From this moment forward, you are no longer an Augustinian. You are free, my friend. Use your freedom. And may God and his angels protect you. Go. There are rumors that the Cardinal has been empowered to arrest you.
With the help of friendly locals, Luther quickly clambered onto a horse in such a rush that he had no time to secure spurs or stirrups. Clutching the horse's mane, Luther had ridden into the night, his Augustinian robes billowing behind him. He made it back to Wittenberg and safety, for the time being. Now, on March the 10th, 1521, Luther looks down at the rumoured invitation from Emperor Charles to the Diet of Worms.
We forward you safe conduct to ensure your personal immunity from danger.
But Luther knew that emperors had promised safe conduct before. It had been promised by Emperor Maximilian 100 years previously to a priest and professor by the name of Jan Hus. And Hus had made the mistake of trusting him. Upon his arrival at that imperial diet, the Council of Constance, Hus was seized by the emperor and thrown in a dungeon. He was tried, among other things, for preaching in the native Czech language rather than Latin, just as Luther had preached in the native language of his people. Hus was declared to be a heresiarch, an arch-heretic, and condemned to death. The emperor's promise of safe conduct had not been worth the paper it had been written on. On July 6th, 1415, he was led outside the city about a kilometre. He walked past piles of his own books, strategically placed along the route, burning. When he arrived at the place of execution, Hus knelt down and prayed.
Have mercy on me, O God. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust.
Witnesses said his face looked bright and joyful. The executioners then stripped him down to his shirt sleeves, chained and roped him to a stake, and stacked the wood so high around him that his head was barely visible. Reportedly, Hus, whose name means goose, then spoke to his executioners.
You may be about to cook this goose, but there will be a swan you will not be able to silence.
As Luther looks at the rumored summons to Worms, he thinks of those words of Jan Hus, and he wonders about the identity of the swan. He remembers how 14 years earlier, he was ordained at the Augustinian Chapel in Erfurt. Towards the end of the ceremony, Luther was required to prostrate himself at the altar, his arms extending outward. As he did so, he noticed, immediately beneath him, an inscription marking a burial place. Luther was lying directly above the dead body of the bishop who had ordered the execution of Hus. Seen from above, Martin Luther, in his Augustinian habit, looked like a bird with its wings outstretched. A black swan. Thank you for joining us. Before we go any further, here's a question for reflection. What did Jan Hus and Martin Luther have in common? Because you've made it this far, here's a glimpse of what's coming next.
None of our works have any power to save us whatsoever. But the papal dominion takes a different view. It makes rules about fasting, praying, and even butter eating, and says that whoever keeps the commandments of the Pope will be saved, and whoever does not keep them belongs to the devil.
Rupert Wickham is Martin Luther, Douglas Bond is our writer, Rob Jorgensen is our audio producer and sound designer, and John Campbell composes our music. Find out more about the series at lutherinrealtime.com and do spread the word if you like it. Your ratings, reviews, and shares really help. And by the way, Luther in Real Time is just one of a whole family of podcasts produced by Ligonier Ministries. Check the show notes for some others I think you'll enjoy. I'm Barry Cooper. Join us again 500 years ago for the next episode of Luther in Real Time.